step-by-step approach to improving yourself and your organization, here's Alan Rodway.
Oh, it must be Thursday afternoon. Mr. Rodway's in the studio. Hello, Al.
How are you, Harf? I'm doing very well. How are you?
That was nice and quiet, wasn't it, that intro? As opposed to normally the blaring eardrum bursting sound that comes out
no,
of the
No, your sound man's going to turn it back up for next week.
No, he's not. Otherwise, he gets a sack.
Yes, he is.
Because you're only here one day a week.
What do you call me when I walked into the studio?
Shaun the Sheep.
Shaun the Sheep.
You're taking the hair off. It's good. A little bit buzz cut. It's good stuff.
It's a good show, Shaun the Sheep, isn't it?
I love Shaun the Sheep. New movie out, too. I want to see that. No words, just sheep.
That's why I like it. I can understand it.
It's good. Now, we had a, just before we talk about today's topic, which I'm very interested in, by the way, acting for high performance, we had a good morning last Friday morning with the Leadership Teamwork and Culture Workshop.
You were you're outstanding, mate. You won't like me saying that.
Let's not overdo that.
Yeah, I knew you wouldn't like that. You were outstanding. And it's actually a bit relevant today because you sort of, there was a coaching mode about you last Friday morning with the group that we had in the workshop, which is different to your on-air persona. And we can talk about that later on. But
yes.
The thing for me was just how, like, we booked the session out and it's just such such a strong signal again as to how people in business and organisations, because there were lots of sporting organisations as well as businesses there, who are still trying to find better answers to how you get people to perform. And it's just, so as soon as you say leadership, it's just everyone listens. As soon as you say teamwork, you say, I need to get better at that. You talk about culture, it's sort of, they're just really buzzwords, but drilling down to it, it was fun, it was productive.
It was good fun.
But it's still a real challenge for organisations, really is.
I was surprised initially at the level of engagement from those that decided that they wanted to attend that. And on reflection, I thought, I probably shouldn't have been so surprised because they've got to that point where they've said, right, I want to learn more about this, want to be a part of this.
Yeah.
So I probably shouldn't have been. But I was impressed with the way that they were engaging in the conversation and thinking about the bigger picture of their organisations. Yep. And they're all different, obviously, with different people in the room. And asking themselves those questions that you say about teamwork and leadership and culture and how do we get better at that and how do we get more productive, more effective as a business as a result?
Yeah. The other thing that really struck me is that, and this isn't an unkind thing to say, there were some people there who were quite open in saying they were really struggling with managing those parts of their organisation. Mm. But there were some people there who were clearly very, very good at it and just wanted to be better at it. So the spectrum was really wide, but it's still a massive issue in the way we work. I still think it's the issue. I still think it's the issue that if your IT is not quite right, it's actually not that hard to fix it. It's just got a cost involved and go find the expertise sort of thing. But getting people to change their behaviours, and we actually talk about it every single week in one way, shape or form. We're still talking about human behaviour and how to get it better than what it really is.
Yep.
And whatever you want to brand it, leadership, culture, teamwork, empowerment, whatever, it's going to come back to what are your people doing and what are they not doing, which is a good segue into what we're talking about today with this acting to perform. Because like I said to you, your persona last Friday in running that workshop was very different to your on-air personality. And I sort of thought that might happen because you must have a football coaching mode that you move into.
Yep.
And you did that. So, and this whole topic's about acting to perform. Do you want to talk about that first? I mean, because you said you have a coaching persona.
Well,
coaching
you do. I think situations demand that you behave and carry yourself in certain manners, and that's no different from sport to business, I wouldn't think. Again, like I told the attendees last week, I've never worked a real day in my life.
And no one believed you.
It's still true to this very day. Never worked a real day in my life. You do have to go into different modes, and you have to perform, and I say perform in an acting sense, because that's the requirement for your role at that given time. Now, coach mode was exactly where I was last Friday.
Yeah.
Because I can't be as like I am here on air with a question answer type format, because that's not really, we want engagement from those who are there. You don't want to be throwing too much at them. You want to be leading the discussion and making them respond in kind. But so coach mode is very much that. You lead the discussion.
Yep.
You involve them in that and ask for feedback and that type of thing, but you've got to lead the charge in that.
Yep.
So that's, I'm sure there's plenty of people out there listening at the moment thinking, well, when I get to work, I'm a different person to what I am at home.
Absolutely.
I have to be, because of the role I play. I'm either working in a team and have to be the team player, team role player, or I'm leading that team and I've got to be strong and assertive and whilst engaging and cooperative and all that type of thing. So you've got to have different roles and you've got to be able to act in different manners.
Absolutely. And you'll find that someone, say, in a workplace or in any team, will dart in and out of a persona depending on even the person that they're communicating with. You know,
yep.
If they're more comfortable with person A, they'll behave in a particular way, communicate in a particular way, go to person B, who they may like less or feel less comfortable with, they'll go to a different way. But it's also, like, even when you're in coach mode, there's still, and come back to this word act to perform, and I'll tell you, I don't get good reactions when I say it, because the connotation it drums up is that's insincere,
yeah,
it's
you're not
misleading.
Authentic,
yeah, it's not authentic.
Genuine.
Yeah. You say you're throwing out your sincerity and your genuineness for the sake of acting. That's just silly. It's not true at all. It's like saying, well, if helping other people to perform better was just so easy that all you have to do is communicate as you feel at the time, well, everyone would be good at it. It's sort of like, think through, the shy can't always be shy. Yeah, you couldn't, if you were just shy last Friday morning running a leadership workshop, I mean, that wouldn't have lasted half an hour.
Very
or in coaching St. Kevin's, or even as an AFL player, if you just say, well, I'm just shy. Yeah, I'm not even going to take anyone to task because I'm just shy. So acting that can only be called into question if the motive is insincere, if the motive is skewed into the negative. But if
the motive is critical.
The motive's critical. Well, yeah, what's my motive in, let's say, yeah, so sometimes the shy have to speak up. Sometimes the dominant have to reclude. Sometimes those who are more inclined to impart information and talk a lot have to move more into questioning. Sometimes those who are boring need to actually be less boring.
Yep.
Or let's say I don't like you.
And or
you
bored, and I, be more engaged.
Absolutely. I have to act as though I'm engaged by you. I'm actually your team member. Or your manager or whatever, or you're my apprentice, whatever it is, and I want to get a really good performance out of you. So you're actually, let's say you're very good at what you do, but I don't actually like you personally. Mm. Well, what? I'm going to act as though I don't like you and I'm really going to get the whole, high-level performance out of you. That just doesn't work. So shyness or, lacking in humour or whatever. And I see people in business often. The owners will go into a room and they'll talk, 80% of the time. And you go, well, the same people will say, well, we really want to empower stuff. So in that case, the owners need to actually learn to be less, less dominant, less talkative, and more quiet as they move around. So acting to perform is actually a very sound concept. It doesn't lack authenticity at all.
Oh, Alan Rodway with us on a Thursday. Yourcoachonline.com.au, your one-stop shop for awesomeness. Acting for high performance is our topic today. Is this part of the art of influencing?
Absolutely it is, Huff. It is. Do you know, and this will sound really silly, but this is actual story. I've had business clients who we've brought in drama teachers, actor teachers,
yep,
for, say, half a day who have actually taught them acting skills. Now, if that sounds silly, think through the number of people in business who go to, what's that thing called, Toastmasters, or they'll go to learn to be better presenters. Yeah, how to publicly speak.
Oh, public speaking, yeah.
So if you want to stand up and be a guest speaker, and there's a lot of those people around the world, if you want to be really good at it, you get trained in it. So you go to someone who's expert in public speaking and they train you in it. What are they training you to do? They're training you how to act. I was at a presentation years ago, it's a fantastic presentation of a lady who'd just come out of being a physiotherapist and was making a name for herself as on the speaking circuit. Mm. And halfway through the session, the most incredible thing she said for me was, she said something funny and the audience all laughed, and she said, I'm really glad you laughed at that. She said, because when I started my career in public speaking, I took on a mentor to help me. And we were doing all these practice sessions and stuff, and her mentor said, that's not funny enough. So I said to him, do I have to be funny? And he said, only if you want to make money. So she had to train herself into something. It's like, if life was so easy that all you had to do was stand up and impart information on someone and everyone would be completely in raptures over that and impacted by it, well, that'd be great. But it's not. If you, like, in running that workshop last week, if we just say, we've got the information, here it is, it doesn't work. There's got to be what? Passion, challenge, drive, quietness, all that sort of stuff. So I've actually had clients go to an acting school, and this is what they do. They'll say, right, for the next minute, all of you act anger. And of course, people are very embarrassed. They say, well, I just feel like an idiot. I'm running around the room acting angrily. If I feel quite happy, but I'm being told to act angrily. And then they'll sort of clap their hands and say, well, now I want you to act confused. And in a minute, now I want you to act humble. Now I want you to act as though you're deliriously happy. And so, but what it taught them is they could actually do it. They actually could act if it was demanded of them. So those same people could go back into a boardroom or into a one-on-one and act in a way and read that to be communicated in a way that would make the message way more effective. It's like if you're addressing an audience or you're addressing a group of football players and you're looking in their eyes saying, this ain't working. You need to change the delivery. That's acting.
Yep.
The message isn't changing, but the way it's being delivered is.
So what about the conscious state of these people that can't do it or don't do it? Do you reckon they're aware that this is what's happening to them in that situation, that they aren't able to, if they are bored, they just can't get out of being bored, if they can't be engaging, if they do dislike this person but have to work with them, they just can't get their head around that? Do you reckon that they know that that's affecting their ability to leapfrog?
Most often, no. And the more senior you go in an organisation, the less likely they are to be told.
Right.
You know, you're a singular personality and it should change every now and again. I mean, not too many people are going to go to a head honcho and tell them that. But even, particularly in business, even those who are aware of it, sometimes flatly refuse to change it. They just say, well, I own the thing. You know, I own the business and I'll just bloody well do what I want, which just doesn't work. And this is why this whole article of yours, act to perform. Don't act insincerely, but act to perform. So awareness number one and conscious decision number two, to act better. And thirdly, you have to practice it. It's no different to public speaking. You have to practice the communication skill and the art form that goes with that.
Does this put a ceiling on your capability to climb the ladder?
Yeah, it does. I saw an article many years ago that said some, if not many, of the world's top CEOs speak very little in their own boardrooms. But what they would do is they would go in and say, gee, I've got a problem. You know, I've got a problem. So they're acting confused. They're acting troubled. I've got a problem. You know, I'm not sure we're getting across this. You know, how might we fix this? Mm. In the back of their mind, they know actually what they want. And for the next hour and a half, the board might debate it or the senior management group might debate it and end up with an answer which is probably fairly close to what that CEO wanted. So what they've done is an act. But what they've got is buy-in from a group of people heading down a common road, probably the way the person wanted in the first place.
Yeah, yeah. So there's a message came through. I'm in sales and relate to incorporating acting skills into my job, says Karen in North Bowen. There would be many, many people out there listening at the moment who probably hadn't even realised that that's just a part of their life.
Yeah.
And they do it. They would think now, assessing what you've said already, that, yeah, I do that. I probably have to do that. But I probably don't do it as well as I could. Yep. So that's where the practice comes in. Do you need professional training with that, or is it just being aware of it and being able to acknowledge when you have to adjust your tempo, I suppose?
Yep. I mean, it's very sincerely, there's two ways. The first is actually practice it yourself by yourself, which will make you feel a complete and utter fool in front of your own mirror.
I do that 4 hours a day.
In front of a mirror, practice these sorts of emotions and act them out. So just to show yourself that you can do it on demand. But better than that is to actually do some work with an acting teacher, with a drama teacher, who will take you through what the body language is, what the look in the eyes, like what the hand movement is like, you know, fidgeting versus this and so on. I sit in business rooms all the time where someone underneath a table, the moment they get nervous, they start moving their foot around a lot.
Yeah,
if you're listening to this, you think whether you do it or whether you see it. So they start fidgeting and they start moving. And what are they saying? They're telegraphing, I feel nervous, uncertain, unconfident. I'm going to be called upon to do something. And they're telling the whole room that. Is that a signal that you want to give? Now, you should only give that signal if it's good for the cause, but it shouldn't be given accidentally because that's just the way you're feeling. So you need to act. You need to learn how to act confident and composed, which means be aware that your foot's shaking all over the place and the boardroom table's about to collapse around you.
And then go home and cry yourself to sleep.